and welcome to another edition of the Awkward Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Rhoda Trumacy. Thank you so much for joining me once again. Today, I have a very special guest for you. I was in the Go Live HQ workshop with this woman. And once you've been through that workshop with Hunter and Promise Tangerine, I mean, there is nothing that you can't accomplish. Basically, the goal is to launch your website completely from scratch in 2 weeks flat. So I feel like the women in that group have an unspoken bond, and that journey keeps us bonded for life. It's not quite a Game of Thrones episode, but I mean, it was intense, needless to say, even though there weren't any White Walkers chasing us. Anyway, so that is where I met Swapna, and she is the owner of the Style Remix, and her mission is to make women not just look beautiful, but feel beautiful starting from the inside out. Her goal is to give women the confidence to feel their best by helping them to look their best with items they probably already have in their closet. So her goal is not to break the bank, but to kind of put a twist on what you might already have to create an entirely new wardrobe for you and something that makes you feel amazing. Swapna has an extensive background in the world of fashion, having previously designed for Macy's, and that's where she was headed, to the corporate world, until she had her first child and decided to stay home and raise her kids. And this is a situation quite a few women have been in. Career woman climbing the ladder, and then all of a sudden your lane changes a bit to start a family. What do you do? I'm so excited that you get to hear firsthand how Swapna took that opportunity to go at her own pace and create a brand and a business she absolutely loves while working to empower women and make them look and feel their very best. So without further ado, here's my interview with Swapna Patel of the Style Remix. I would trade with you. Like, what's the temperature?
You know, it's much warmer today. I don't know. It's like in the high 30s, maybe low 40s.
So that'd be Fahrenheit.
Yes, yes.
Okay. What's 40 degrees Fahrenheit? I'm just curious.
I want to say it's like maybe 3 to 6 degrees.
Oh, that's not very warm, but still, I take that over minus 30 any day.
It was freezing cold this weekend, though. I mean, the weather was awful, and I don't know if I'd rather have snow or just have like polar vortex, you know.
Doesn't it feel like that, though? I know it's like,
it would be nice to have flip-flops and sand.
You ready to dive in?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. All right, so I want to learn about, you know, how you developed your leadership skills in building teams and then building a business. And, you know, what is it that made you able to take that jump? I think we talked before about, you know, when you're branching off after you had your first child and deciding not to go back and then doing something new, that's all scary, right? And like, I want you to walk us through how you were able to do that. But, you know, one step at a time. I'm just really excited to hear more about your story. So right off the bat, who is Swapna? How would you describe yourself?
Okay, so I am first and foremost a mom, and a wife and a daughter and a sister. So those are truly, you know, my first loves and my first roles in life. But other than that, I'm a Chinese food lover. I, just like anyone else, enjoy binge watching my favorite shows, which are Downton Abbey, and at the moment also The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon Prime. And I am a fashion lover, but I would say more than fashion in the sense of like looking through Vogue magazine. I'm a lover of personal style. And I believe that when your outside looks good, your inside feels great. And I view it, getting ready, as a part of my well-being, my self-care, you know? So that is really my belief in life. And I'm on a mission to spread that to every woman, because everyone deserves to look and feel great.
I love that. I love it, because it has so much to do, like, how you look on the outside is reflective of how you feel on the inside, right? Like, how you treat yourself on the outside. And I don't think people understand how tightly knit that can be. Like, I remember when I was in college, I was talking to my friend, and I just felt so out of it. I was like, I can't do anything right. And, you know, like, school's really stressing me out. And I feel like, I just feel like I look like a homeless hobo who spent the night in a closet, and I got dressed in the dark. And the first question she asked me was, when was the last time you got your hair done? And I was like, what does that have to do with anything? And then she's like, no, when was the last time? And when I thought about it, I was like, oh, it's been a while. Like, that's been on the back burner. And then she went on to explain, you know, when you look good, you start to feel good, and it starts from the inside out. So yes, I totally, totally understand that. Yeah.
And I think it's something small. Like, I'm not saying you have to, you know, go get your nails done every 2 weeks, but even if you paint them yourself, you know, those little things that bring you joy. And I think it's a chain reaction that when you see the impact something small makes, then you're likely to take on bigger things.
Yes, absolutely.
Baby
steps. Yes, exactly. Exactly. So how did you get so tell us a little bit more about your background, because you do have quite an impressive resume in the world of fashion.
So thank you. I'm very flattered that you feel that way. So when I grew up in India, and I moved to the US when I was 20. But when I was growing up and I was a teenager, some of the American soap operas had just come to India. So maybe like in 92, 93. And I used to watch a show called The Bold and the Beautiful. And they have this like big fashion family. And I was just like in love with the way they dressed and this whole world of fashion shows and the illustrations. And I always loved art, and I was a big like DIY crafty person. And so somehow I got this bug in my head about wanting to study fashion. Now, at the time in India, there weren't a lot of fashion courses. And of course, like, fashion design was not at all like a big career path. It was, you become a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or a pharmacist. Like, there's these few, you know, categories of work that people love and respect. So fashion design was obviously like coming out of the blue to my family and everything. But my parents said to me, there's one school. And they said, if you get into it, then maybe we will think about it, you know. And it was a very long shot to get in, because maybe 140 kids out of like the thousands that apply got in. And by some like stroke of luck, I got in. And that really paved the way for me to pursue that further. So I studied design for 3 years. And then when I was done, I applied to school in the United States, and I actually studied fashion merchandising. So now I had the business, I had the design background, and now I got the business background. So I did that. I completed my 4-year degree in 3 years. And in my junior year summer, I actually had an internship with Macy's. At the time it was called Federated, but now it's Macy's. And I interned with them in product development. And when they saw my portfolio, they said, well, you should really be in design. And they offered me, after my internship, I went back to school, they offered me a position, and I took it. And then I really grew there. You know, I was there for almost 8 years, and I grew from assistant to designer. And it was just a wonderful career path for me. Until, of course, I had my my daughter. So when my first child was born 10 years ago, that really is a big shift. And it is for many women. You know, and staying at home full time is not an easy task, but you actually don't find out until you have to do it. And you have this career in New York City, and you know, you get dressed and you go to work and you meet people, and now all of a sudden you're home in the suburbs with a small baby. And it's a huge lifestyle shift, which you just, I did not anticipate it at all. And it was definitely a challenge. But, you know, as she grew and we got out of the house more, things started to change. But when I made the decision to stay home with her, I had just assumed that that was my path now as a mom. And that is what I was going to do for the rest of my time. And as long as they needed me. I had never expected to find something else. Like, it was not on my radar at all. But here's the thing, like, even when I was in design school and even when I was a teenager and I'd not picked a career, I always somehow knew I wanted to own a business. And when I was home with my daughter, then I had my second child in 2013, I was invited to a Stella and Dot trunk show at a friend's house. Stella and Dot is a jewelry and accessories company based in New York and actually Canada. But it's a direct sales company. They make gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous product. And I was invited to a party. I fell in love with the product. And I decided to actually share it at my house with my friends. So I said, you know, my wish list is really big. I want everything. Obviously, buy everything.
How are we going to make this work? You got to get creative.
Exactly. So I said, you know, I'll invite this girl. Her name's Lauren. I said, I'll invite Lauren to my house. She'll share it with my friends. And then I'll earn some free product. But the product is beautiful. And I was sure that my friends were going to love it. So sure enough, that's what I did. And then she said to me, she's like, you know, if you love it so much, you should do what I do. And I was like, well, that's not such a bad idea. And the investment was only $199. And to me, it's like I spend $199 at Target, you know, to buy things that I don't even know what, like toilet paper and paper towels. And I'm like, here's a business that I can launch for less than $200. And if it doesn't work out, there were no commitments. The product was mine to keep. So why not? So I did. And I can definitely tell you, I wasn't expecting to do it for a really long time. It was a day at a time. We'll see what works and what doesn't kind of a thing. And I had never expected to be here almost five years later talking to you about this. But but I really, you know, on the surface, yes, it's a jewelry and clothing company and that's the business. But through it, I have really discovered my skill, my passion. It has made me a better mother and a wife because it puts my creative energy to good use. I have met and built an amazing community of women just within our company. And I'm only half joking when I say that I don't have a sister, but this is probably what sisterhood feels like, you know, because it's just an amazing community of women and my customers and, you know, hostesses who invite me to their house to treat them to shopping space. So I have been doing that. And then I realized that many women were messaging me and calling me to say, hey, I have to go to a party. Do you think I should wear this or should I wear that? And what do you think? Can you help me? What should I wear to my job interview? And that really paved the way for what I do now in conjunction with my accessories business is Style Remix. I just launched it in the fall. So it's still my baby. But it has been a fun journey, you know, and I feel like it's amazing to show women how they can make the things that they already own work and see them in a new light. And whether you're working full time or you're a stay-at-home mom, we need to be more accountable to ourselves, you know, to not just the desire to stay in our pajamas all day is there, of course. But you can, I think that once you change your clothes for the day, it puts you in a different frame of mind. You know, it really boosts your productivity, your joy, all those good things. So I'm all for that, and I want to show people how to do it.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. In fact, one of the so sometimes I will work from home, and you read blog posts, so you try to figure out, how do I be more productive? How do I structure my day so then I'm getting the most out of my time? And one of the key things is dressing up just like you were going into the office. And like you said, it changes your frame of mind, and it makes you feel all of a sudden, not like you're putting on a uniform, but you're kind of, you know, taking things to the next level and really encompassing that whole position or role of, okay, I'm in business now, I'm working now, and we're going to get things done.
I mean, if you're going to the gym, for example, or you're going to a yoga class, or you're going for a run, you wear specific clothes for that. You're not going to run in your jeans. Mm-hmm. You're not at the gym in your sundress, right? Like, why? Because firstly, those clothes have a purpose. Secondly, it also shifts your mind into that gear. That's why people lay out their sports bra the night before, so they go for a workout early in the morning, because it's signaling your brain that, okay, now I have to switch this mode from want to sleep in for half an hour extra to now I have to go to the gym. So that's really the messages that we send to ourselves.
It's not just a piece of clothing. Right? It's something that you said is triggering to your brain that now we're in a different mode and it's time to prepare for that mode. So I want to ask you personally, when it came down to, because in the beginning you talked about, you know, being a new mom and then having your second child, and you thought, okay, this is my life now and this is what you're going to do. And then, you know, you ventured into that entrepreneurial realm with Stella and Dot. Yes. When did you switch your mind frame from, I'm just going to kind of be a mom and settle into this role, into maybe I can venture into like being an entrepreneur, to really owning that title? Like, how did that transition happen for you?
It happened very gradually. And I think what helped me tremendously was the fact that the Stella and Dot opportunity is very flexible. So for me, the whole thing of knowing that I can do as much or as little as it suits my young family's schedule was a key factor. If somebody had said to me, no, you have to put in like 6 hours a day and you have to sell X amount of jewelry a month, that would not have worked for me, you know? But knowing that I could set my own hours and go at my own pace made it easy to transition into that. And even today, I think the biggest boon, and I think what many women want, is flexibility. You know, you don't want to miss your kids' games. Kids get sick. Like, you want to be able to stay home and adjust your schedule. So in the beginning, I used to work 2 hours a day when my son was taking a nap in the afternoon and my daughter was at school. And I think that really allowed me to gradually ease in. And now my kids are a little bit older, so I can say to them, well, mommy has some work to do in her office. You're just going to have to keep busy, you know, and do this, work on this puzzle or color, or heck, sometimes watch the iPad, you know, and that's okay. And really, it has been a gradual transition. It wasn't like one day I woke up and just started working 8 hours a day. So I still put my family's needs first and I work my business around it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome that you're able to find something that gives you that flexibility and to gradually grow into a business owner.
Yes.
So may I ask, what would you say has been your biggest challenge in that journey?
Believing in yourself, you know, and knowing that you can have crazy goals and make them happen. And there have been times where I have doubted myself and should I do this? Like, you know, and in any business, no matter if you own a boutique or you are a business coach or whatever you might be, there are those moments where we all doubt ourselves and say, should I do this? What's even the point? Where is this going? But your mindset is like a muscle. And you have to, you know, exercise it. And just filling my own cup, reading books, listening to podcasts, being in the company of people who inspire you and lift you up. those doing those things, I think, cultivates a better mindset that helps you get through those tough spots and show up every day.
Yes. Speaking personally, becoming an entrepreneur, first of all, that wasn't like that wasn't like my life goal. It's like, yeah, when I was young, I had a lemonade stand, but I didn't grow up thinking I'm going to own my own business or whatever. But then certain things shift and, you know, certain opportunities come and it's like, okay, maybe there's something worth exploring. And I think a lot of times, because we don't really get to see the behind the scenes of what goes into this, it's like, okay, I'm running this or I'm trying to build this business now and I'm supposed to have it all together, right? Like you assume that you're supposed to be further along or you're supposed to all of a sudden be Steve Jobs, right? And like have all that genius. And that's not the way it works. I love how you described it as it's a muscle that you need to build because you really do need to train to think that certain way to be like, you know what? It's going to be gradual, step by step, but it's all going to come together to build that vision I want eventually. And I feel like so many people give up prematurely. I know, oh my gosh, I can't tell you the number of times I'm like, this isn't working. I suck at this.
And I think that, you know, my friend Kristen, who is my Stella and Nut mentor, we always compare our business to exercise, and she loves to work out and I don't, but like, it's funny, but it's kind of like going to the gym, right? Just because you start a business does not automatically make you successful. Just the way that you buy a gym membership does not give you a hot body. Like, what do you have to do? You have to show up. You have to do the work, you know, and only then. And the other thing is instant gratification. I mean, you know, the whole thing is like you think these people are overnight successes, but they're not. They've been working on it for years. You just got to know about them last night. And it's nothing. Rome was not built in a day. And I think that this whole thing about instant results and instant gratification gives people a wrong perception of what's. It does not happen overnight. It builds up gradually every single day.
I was watching a news segment, like an Entertainment Report news segment, and this girl that I had not grown up with, but I've, you know, I was when I was younger, I was wanting to be a journalist, so we kind of like worked in similar places. And she is doing incredible right now. She has a YouTube channel, like she's just doing amazing, absolutely killing it. And they described her as an overnight success. I was like, absolutely not. I know how hard she worked. Her name is Shannon Boodrum. I know how hard she worked for years, and invested and just blood, sweat, and tears. And I felt like describing her as an overnight success took away from that journey because she worked her butt off to get to where she is. And so, but like you said, that's what you hear, you know, overnight success. So it gives other people the wrong impression that somebody just woke up and, you know, they were discovered by some success recruiter and boom, there you go, right? But that is absolutely not it. Like people don't see the grind. They don't see the process. And so that kind of sets us up for failure when you're diving into something new and feel like, you know, instantly you're supposed to see results when that's absolutely not the case, right?
No, and I think the other biggest thing entrepreneurs and maybe mostly women do and how we shoot ourselves in the foot is that we compare ourselves, you know, and someone else, like your messy middle is not going to look like your, like somebody's middle and your beginning are going to look very different and you cannot compare that. And you shouldn't, because everybody's skills, life situations are different. Mm-hmm. So you may go at a different pace, but that doesn't mean, you know, that it's wrong. It is what is right for you. It's mm-hmm. like the hair and the race, you know?
Comparison is the thief of joy. Yes. Yes, there's a part of that culture, that female culture that, you know, sets us up to take a look over somebody else's shoulder and see what they're doing and, you know, compare ourselves to that. But I feel like once you really focus on yourself and right. own what you're doing, like that saying, the grass is greener where you water it.
100%.
Right, where you invest. And so when you focus on what you're doing and just, you know, your only competition is the person looking in the mirror and who you were yesterday, right?
And I think the only thing that holds us back is us, ourselves, and a lot of that are in our head, you know. Number one, other people's opinions. Like, who are these other people? Why do you care about their opinions? So I was at this coaching. The other beauty of my Stella & Dot business has been that I get a lot of amazing coaching and leadership training and stuff. But one of our best coaches, she's actually Canadian, and her name is Danielle Redner. And she, at one of our recent training seminars, said, take a 1x1 inch piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, write names of people that matter to you. And she said, next time you think, what will people think? Look at your 1 inch piece of paper. These people whose opinions you care for, are their names on this list, on 1 inch piece of paper? If not, you should not, you know? And I think we care so much about what like the 100, 700 people we're friends with on Facebook might think, but you shouldn't, you know? Hopefully that list is really short and it's your closest friends and family. So,
and even they will understand because they love you and they just want you to be good no matter what.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if this is what brings you joy, then you should do it. You know?
Yes. And, yeah. No, that's so good. Opinions don't put gas in your car, right? They don't put food on your table. All right. So I want to hear more about Style Remix and what that does. I absolutely love the concept and I need to take you up on your offer to like help me personally, but please tell us more about that program.
Okay. So Style Remix was basically born because I told you, like, people were asking me, like, what should I wear for this occasion? I have a job interview. What can I pick that's sharp? And, like, also me, my personality. And I really think that as a stylist, you know, you cannot just push people so far out of their comfort zone where they're just, like, going to give up. And I know that it's true because that's who I am. For example, I don't wear short skirts. I have never worn them my whole life. I'm not going to start wearing them in my 40s, you know? And every woman knows what looks good on her. But as a stylist, I can encourage you to try a different color, show you different combinations, you know, of things that you own and have already purchased. And also as women and moms, we often put ourselves like so low on our totem pole of priorities for everything that a lot of people are like, well, you know, my kids are in a lot of activities. That does not leave me with a lot of extra money to spend on clothes for myself. But you already have a closet full. So let me show you how to make that work. And my experience is that people say, women say to me, oh, I never thought of putting those two things together. There is a way to look good on a budget, and there is a way to put your best self forward, and you already know it, you know? You just have to chip away some of that that stuff that's there, and it's all there. You already have it. So that's really my goal and my mission.
I love how you work with what women already have, because sometimes it is that fresh set of eyes, especially if that's, you know, somebody's forte, to come in and say, actually, you have like 20 completely different outfits here that are already hanging in your closet, but maybe you just never thought about pairing certain things that way.
I also tell people, like, I think that this would look good on you, and this is what you should try next time if you are out shopping. This is my list for you. Or sometimes we're holding things in our closet that just make us feel bad. Like, if I held on to my pre-baby jeans that I've still not managed to fit into, like, that, who am I serving? Who is being served by that? Nobody. And the chances are, if I ever did go back to being that size 6 or whatever that number might be, I'm going to want to celebrate and buy myself new jeans and new clothes. I'm not going to wear something that's 10 or 15 years old, you know? So I think that we have to embrace who we are, right now and not hold on to these beliefs of what we can be or what we once were. And that really will help us live our best life and be our best selves right now.
Such an awesome message. I absolutely love that. So, so good. Great advice. Do you, any more good advice where that comes from? Actually, that was my next question. If you had any advice to any women who were wanting to build a business, what would it be?
What would it be? Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Like, don't think you're just gonna one fine morning wake up and be Mark Zuckerberg or Rachel Zoe or whoever else your icon is. You know, it takes time. I mean, I think I'm still learning and growing. I'm just getting started is what I like to say and believe. And find your tribe. Many amazing leaders say that you are the sum of five people that you surround yourself with. So really take a hard look at who you're surrounding with yourself with and build your tribe that can encourage you, but not like, you know, just pump you up for nothing. And look at filling your own cup first, whether it's reading, you know, exercise, whatever else it is, serve yourself first so you can serve your family, your community, and your friends better.
Yes, I love that, because if you're, you know, you can't serve from an empty cup, there'd be nothing for you to pour into. And I'm assuming that's one of your keys to balancing it all as a wife and a mom and a business owner.
I am not very good at it. Like, if you ask me, what's your morning routine for yourself? I have to say I'm a work in progress, and some mornings are better than others. But I have definitely in the past few years learned, like, a 5-minute imperfect meditation is better than the 30-minute one that you never did.
It's like, yes, done is better than perfect.
Yes. Progress is better than perfection. So a little bit every day is better than nothing at all.
That is so true. That is so, so true. Yes. Who inspires you?
Many, many people. I have, it changes on a daily basis, but I have to say that I like to read a lot. So I draw a lot of inspiration from books that I read and things. So one of my favorite books and one of my favorite people who inspires me is actually the CEO and founder of Stella & Dot. Her name is Jessica Herron. She is an amazing woman and a mom, and she has created something wonderful that not only have I benefited from, but thousands of women benefit from her vision and her leadership. And I love her words. Currently, I'm also really big on Rachel Hollis, who, if you haven't heard, is one of those overnight sensations in the world of, you know, self-development. But again, she has 4 kids. She's a motivational speaker. Some amazing words of advice from her. I listen to her podcast. And really, you know, the amazing community of women I have, whether it's some of the mom bosses that I have become friends with in my local community, or it's, you know, women that are like remote, right? Like the ones you listen to on your podcasts and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I find that everybody pretty much will give you the same message, but it helps to hear it over and over again.
Yes, to reinforce it. And especially if it's, you know, new skill, new muscle that you're building, it helps when you have different trainers, I guess, that are providing just a little bit of their advice to, you know, put it all together to make you the best version of yourself, or to grow that strength in you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So last question, when it comes to clients.
Yes.
How would you say is the best way to find them, or how have you found your clients? Because I think that's something that's really intimidating for business owners, especially when you're first starting out. So what would your advice be?
I think when you're first starting out, definitely some of your business will come through your immediate circle. So your friends or your family. And from there on, through referrals and through word of mouth, it will grow. I think today in business, we have an amazing tool called social media. And I think what helps with social media is not Like, it's not like people are jumping onto your website and, you know, booking your services immediately, but building that know, like, trust factor that when they finally need someone, you're going to be the top of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And showing up as your most authentic self on social media helps convert those leads eventually.
Yes, absolutely. And building that relationship, that's basically what it's about. Sometimes people think that, you know, I posted on Instagram and I only got, you know, 23 likes. How is this actually going to help me build my business or get customers? And this is, you know, social media, it's a long-term game. It's not just, you know, you put up a few posts and then boom, you're going to have people who trust you and are willing to give you their hard-earned cash. It's right. A matter of you consistently, as you said, showing up as your authentic self and presenting that, you know, you're knowledgeable in this area. You really have a service or product that will help them solve a challenge they're having. And then the more they see that reinforces in them their familiarity with you, that they're able to trust you, that you are the real deal. And eventually that relationship is what will convert into a paying customer.
Exactly. And I think especially if you're in a service-based business versus just a product-based business where, oh, I like that t-shirt, I'm going to buy it. And I think those, like you said, the relationships that you build online and offline really will help your business grow, you know. Mm-hmm. Those are the people who are going to give you the referrals or tell their friend about you. And eventually that's going to translate into dollars. So.
Yes. Yay. Just stay in there. Hang in. It will pay off.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. So what can we expect from you in the near future? I know you're working on your website.
Yes. My website, the preliminary website, is ready. And of course, you know, there'll be some tweaks here and there. So the website is www.styleremix.com. And you will see lots of style tips. If you have any style dilemmas, like how do I wear, for example, white jeans in the winter? How do I style my black blazer 6 different ways? I would love to hear your questions. The best way right now to connect with me is on social media. So on Instagram, I am style.remix, again with 2 X's at the end. And I just love showing women what I'm wearing on a daily basis, you know, things that are going on in my life and how I'm mixing them up. I'm not dressed, you know, head to toe perfect, like all day, every day. And you do not have to be like all high-end designer labels. I certainly am not. I have little kids. They use me as their personal like dish towel and just wipe. So I don't invest in ridiculously expensive clothing. So, you know, I think I have some real advice, real tips for stuff together and that I think that women can use.
Tried and true, real world tested and approved. Love it. I really want to thank you so much for taking the time to spend this morning and to share your journey, to share your story and your advice about what you've learned along the way. Thank you so much, Swapna. It's been awesome talking with you.
Appreciate it.